Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation is with Dick Calder, Deputy Director for Administration for the CIA. Joining me in our conversation is Ian Littman, and Ian's also a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers. Well, Dick, let's just finish what we were talking about in the last segment as you were reflecting on you're pushing the CIA towards entrepreneurship and forward thinking. Any lessons learned we can summarize?
There are a lot, but let me just pick out a couple of here. I think one is the willingness to talk about things that don't go well, the mistakes. Let's say it as the right word here. Historically, bureaucracies, particularly federal bureaucracies, don't tolerate many mistakes. And I would say at the agency, we have to be very careful about the mistakes that we make. But when you're trying something new, when you're trying to work through new issues, you're not always going to calibrate correctly. And we have made an effort to be straightforward about good tries, talking about good tries, things that didn't work, things that we thought would work. We put the planning into it. We thought it would be the best way to approach it, but it just wasn't. And we have, I think we have developed a little bit of an ethos now. I don't want to over-exaggerate this, of being able to say, hey let's try this. Let's not be timid about this. Let's try this. And if it doesn't work, to quickly go back and make sure that that we recover and that we give people credit for the trying, not necessarily only for getting it right. The other thing that I would say is that I believe new ideas come from new voices, and the new voices tend to be on the periphery of the organization. And so one of our challenges has been to try to reach out to those new voices to try to be sure that we are getting their ideas. And, one of the things of living overseas is that you get to see a lot of different cultures, a lot of different hierarchies, a lot of different bureaucracies. And I can remember working in one particular government that wasn't, this economy was booming. It was really sort of quickly coming into the 20th century. And it didn't have sufficiently trained people to do all the things that the economy demanded of it. It reached out and hired people from a variety, from Europe, from South Asia, from all over the world. And I was struck by how effective having that broad base of people was in making this work. And in fact, I thought there was a richness of ideas there that we didn't see in some of the other environments that I worked in. So I've become a believer in trying to reach out and bring together as diverse a group as possible of people to try and solve ideas. And that's been one of the factors that has made us successful, is that we have tried to cut no one out, but to try to be very inclusive.
Dick, let's talk a little bit about technology in the future. Technology has become increasingly important to the success of all government agencies. Can you tell us what role technology has been playing at the CIA?
Absolutely, a critical role. But one of the things, I will again take it down to where I am, which is in the back office business. In the whole world of doing back office, of doing the support work around not only in our organization, but in the private sector and other elements of the federal sector as well, there has been increasing use of technology to disintermediate, to take people out of the circuit that historically were there when we were passing paper from outbox to inbox to outbox, et cetera. We have been trying to leverage that technology to drive process costs down, to actually take steps out, and in fact, to blow up processes. Instead of just going down and trying to automate the status quo, we have been trying to use the technology to force us to rethink how we do processes. We instituted a new payroll program not too long ago, and part of that whole effort was aimed at using the actual technology to drive us to think differently about how we did payroll. And we've seen this in several other areas. So technology, to me, is a real force multiplier in how we look at processes and how we're doing business at the agency.
But technology often cuts two ways for employees, right? First, it's hard for people to learn because it's new. And second, you just described a process where you could imagine fewer employees as a result. How's that worked for you?
Yeah, this is the real conundrum of government. If you think about government, government is basically people. So most of your costs are in people. If you now think about technology and you now think about making improvements, what you're really doing is threatening the employees. So the issue for many of us who are trying to manage this is, how do you get people to engage when the outcome may be a real threat to their job? And what we have tried to do is, particularly at the agency, as I said earlier on, is to make sure that we have outlets to make sure that people understand that the way that they continue to add value in the organization is to be as flexible as possible in learning new jobs, in cross-training, and trying to, in our directorate, we have a lot of guilds. You know, we have logisticians, we have finance officers, we have people who, you know, for a career have worked within these small silos. And what we are trying to do now is to try to move, using the technology, using information, allowing these people to have broader opportunities, and not surprisingly, particularly at the agency, we're seeing a lot of people step up to that challenge. So that's how I think you deal with that dichotomy of, you know, all of your costs are in people. If you drive the costs out, you're going to risk, put people at risk. How then do you ensure that the people will play? And I think it's by making them comfortable that they will have other opportunities as they work through some of these issues with you.
Dick, commercial organizations are deeply involved in the new economy. How do you envision e-commerce playing any type of role at the CIA?
Yeah, this is many of our many of the ways we provide services in the agency today have moved to having web pages, and this I think is becoming very common across the federal government, certainly in the private sector. One of the issues that we are struggling with and we want to fix very, very quickly is that you can get all the information on our web pages that you want. You know, when a service is available, how much a service costs, how to actually sign up for the service, how best to get it delivered to you. What you can't do today is do the transaction. And if we could develop, and we are working, we are spending a lot of time on this, if we can develop that final step so that you can actually do the transaction. One, this will be, I think, of an enormous benefit to our clients, to our customers. But much more importantly, I can see thousands of process steps. I can see paper being saved, trees being saved, forests being saved by not having to do much of the processes that we do today, by using the technology to as the process enabler, or as the enabler rather than having paper backup. And that's really where we're trying to get to. This means the use of credit cards, the use of other devices. As I said, we are fairly close, and we have a lot of people that are working on this, a lot of experimental ideas going on. And it won't be that long before we are, I think we are on that edge.
Well, Dick, what are some of the other key issues the CIA will be facing in the future years to come?
Well, you know, we wrestle with a variety of new issues today. We have weapons of mass destruction. There's international terrorism. We have narcotics. We have organized crime. I think it was former Director Woolsey that talked about, in referring to the Soviet Union, that we had managed to slay the dragon, and what appeared in its stead were literally dozens of venomous snakes. I think the challenge for us, the challenge for us in order, because it is almost impossible to predict. If you look out there, you have information technology, you have telecommunications, biotechnology, robotics, you have all those issues out there. None of us can predict what they're going to be. I think the real challenge for us is to develop the agility and the adaptability so that no matter what happens, we are capable of addressing.
Well, I'm afraid we're out of time. Thank you very much, Dick, for spending time with us tonight. Ian and I enjoyed our conversation very much. This has been the Business of Government Hour, Conversations with Government Leaders. To learn more about the endowment's programs, visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. See you next week.